Okay, but before I do that, so I am actually really excited to introduce the next person because she and I actually have history. She used to take my dance fitness class, and that's how we kind of became friendly. Long before I knew what she did, she is like the ritual guru. So we started to become friends, and when I was getting married, she offered, you know, we just talked about it and stuff, and she was helping me to decide what rituals I wanted to use in my wedding and stuff, and really, really awesome. So I'm glad to introduce her. But you can read all about her and her fabulousness here. The most thing you should remember about her is she's the real thing. She's authentic. She's traveled around the world. She's got such a passion for rituals and cultures and the oneness that really, bottom line, they all are, and bringing that together. So it's my pleasure to introduce Barbara Bijou.
Hopscotch.
Hi, everybody. I am so excited to be back at Unity. Tony, thank you so much. As she said, my passion really is to look at spiritual practices around the world, to look at rituals around the world, and use them as a map to see how we can live our lives with more compassion, with more joy, with more love, with more prosperity, and how we could reach out to each other. And this weekend is pretty awesome. As Tony said, I just got back from 2 weeks in Peru. And talk about a culture change from being in Peru, where most people are living without electricity, you know, no bathrooms, they cook outside, but yet they have such a reverence for Mother Earth and for God. And their whole life really is about prayer and gratitude. And then I come back here and we have the marathon, we have the Halloween parade. I live in the West Village, so my entire neighborhood yesterday had, 2-3 million people? You know, a few people, right? It has been pretty awesome. And I don't know about you, but how many of you love picnics? How many people like to go on picnics? Okay. So you think of picnics, you think of great food, you think of maybe being at a park or a beach or someplace really beautiful, being with your friends, being with your family. However, one place I bet you really haven't thought about too much is taking your picnic to the cemetery, right? However, millions of people around the world are doing just that right now, because this is a very special day. It is Day of the Dead, it's All Souls Day, All Saints Day, yet in Mexico and most of South America, Asia, Egypt, Europe, all over the world, people at this moment are taking time to connect to the ancestors. Because there is a belief that at this time, the ancestors can come back. They can connect to you. They're real. We are really connected. Think of it almost like there's a curtain, and the ancestors are in another part of the curtain, and all you do is open it. And at this time, people go to cemeteries, they have picnics, because there's also a belief that the ancestors, the departed, can get nourishment out of the food you bring. So what are you going to bring? You know, kale? I don't think so. You're going to bring sugar, right? You're going to and they make sugar skulls. How many of you have seen them? I'm sure you have, right? And they're not scary. They're really not scary, and that's what you need to understand. There's a love, there's a compassion, there's an invitation to learn now from those who've departed and to share with them. So they bring wonderful picnics of all kinds of food. They bring blankets, they bring toys, they bring money, they bring all kinds of things. They sweep the graves, they make them beautiful, and they open up to the information and the wisdom. You all know in your meditations, when you get quiet, God can talk to you. And people believe, and I believe, I must say, that at this time especially, the veil is so thin that you could get wisdom from your ancestors, from those who have left. So to make this a time of opening your heart, of really being aware of what you learned, because it's also important to know that, you know, we celebrate Halloween here. Any of you go to the Halloween parade? No? Yes, you did? What'd you wear? What were you wearing? Ah, very nice. I actually saw for the first time a float of Day of the Dead. I don't know if any of you noticed it, which is really exciting to me that the cultures are now coming together. Because Halloween, unlike what we really think of it, is an ancient Celtic holiday. It's actually the New Year. It's so on. So today, Happy New Year, everybody. This is day one of the Celtic New Year. And what you do at this time is really honor the elders. So the whole thing of, you know, this wicked witch with her cauldron is really taken from the grandmother, the wisdom being. She was the elder. And the cauldron actually represents the womb of life where we all come from. We've taken all of these holidays and these aspects and turned them into something scary when they were really about something wonderful. So now we think of black cats and witches riding on brooms and all of that. But really, it's a time to honor. And I'm going to ask all of you, elders or elders in training, because that's what you all are, to really begin to honor this time of year. We were talking when I was coming up here about how old are you when you're an elder anymore. You know, 80 is the new 20, 30 is the new 10, you know. It's like, I don't know how old anybody is. When I was in Peru, the average person gets married at 20. So by 40, they're grandparents. Here, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of clients who at 40 are just thinking of getting married. Maybe at 50 they adopt children or, you know, whatever. It's a whole different way of being. So we've lost that traditional aspect of in your youth, you know, you're vibrant and you're having families and you're creating. And as you get older, traditionally, that's when you gave back. That's when you were a real wisdom being. In Hawaii, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but you're not considered wise till you're 80. So those of you under 80 who want to move there, you know, there's a huge celebration that happens, and you are honored, men and women, for having wisdom. Even our trick-or-treating comes from a ritual of souling. The needy used to ask for food. They were called soul cakes, actually. And in exchange for me giving you a soul cake, you would pray for me and for my family. And then children would ask for food, and they'd ask for all kinds of wonderful things. And in exchange, they would sing, or they would dance, or they would do a poem. So can you imagine now if everyone who came trick-or-treating to your house, every time you gave them candy, sang you a song, read you a poem, did a little rap? But it was really about giving back and changing. And there was a real exchange. When the Christian church took over the holiday, which they did, they renamed it Halloween, and they started to celebrate Old Souls Day and All Saints Day. In France now, all over the world, people are in churches today lighting candles, and still a lot of people are going to graveyards where they leave chrysanthemums. Although in other cultures, you leave different things. So everybody, in the true spirit of Halloween now, let's take a moment to really honor our ancestors. Let's use this as a time, today, tomorrow, to reach out to your elders, to really send them a card, to say, I love you, I care about you. You know, so many of these elders are kind of pushed aside and not treated as relevant anymore when they have so much to offer us. So collect money, toys, food, and give it to those who are less fortunate. You know, when we lived in small villages, we really felt a sense of connection to the past. And that sense of connection enabled us and gave us a sense of appreciation for those who had passed on the traditions. As we connect to our lineage, even if you really don't know all of the players. I know a lot of times in workshops I ask people to introduce themselves by their lineage, and most people get stuck at their grandparents, which is really kind of sad to me. We don't know those who came before us. Yet a friend of mine who's Zulu told me that in their traditional rituals, you always introduce yourself by your lineage and where they came from, so that by the time you grow up and then pass on, people know who you are. They know where you came from. They know your gifts. They know your talents. So let's really think for a moment about what we have learned. Our ancestors, especially in this country, were pretty brave. Now, I'm not saying all of them were fabulous, and we have a lot of dysfunctional ones, we know that. However, they were brave. They came, and most of them left their countries at a very young age and came here to make a better life. Some, unfortunately, were forced to come, but they still were brave, and they still kept a lot of their traditions and moved ahead. And it's part of understanding that we are part of an unbroken chain. It extends backwards, and it extends forward. We all depended on each other, and that was a good thing. When I was in Peru, they shared with me their ancient way of being, and I really loved it, and I want to share it with you. The first one is practice loving, practice gratitude. So no matter what you do, you're always in a state of gratitude. Then we want to temper what we think we know with real wisdom, with real knowledge, so that we can live a life that we are proud of. We live a life in beauty. Right action. We want to be able to leave a legacy. So, you know, we all come to these wonderful places like Unity where we absorb all this spiritual juju, right? And you go back into your life and you have it. However, what are you leaving behind? How are you sharing this with other people? How are you making it something that will continue? The next principle is respect for life. I was really blown away, I must say, when I was in Peru, how nothing is wasted. I took a boat, and they tied up the boat, and I was looking, and I said, oh my God, this is made from an old tire track. They recycle everything. They don't waste. They really honor the land. They honor Mother Earth. They call her Pachamama. They honor the mountain spirits. They honor God in everything, really in everything. And it's very special. And the last one is reciprocity. In the ancient languages there, pre-Incan, by the way, there's no word for thank you. And I was kind of surprised when I heard that. But what they explained to me is, I need a new roof on my house, right? So you're all going to come and help me. That's part of how it is. And then when you need a new roof, I'm going to come and help you. So there's actually no need to say thank you. It's just a given that I will help you and you will help me. That's how the world works. And I thought, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could kind of translate that into our lives today? It's very, very important. Our ancestors used ritual to honor every single moment, just to bring in a sense of honor and respect for the divine, which they knew were in ordinary moments. Everything to them was about divinity. And as we embrace memories of those who've passed on, it really helps us understand the value of time. Let us really savor these memories. Understand that memories are precious. They're as precious as gold and silver. It makes up our tool chest. It makes up our inheritance. And yes, when you inherit things, you can decide what you want to keep, what you're going to let go of, but you also want to be aware of what are these gifts, what are these talents that have come down to you. I found out recently that one of my grandfathers, when he was in Russia and was escaping the pogroms that happened there, joined actually a circus. And he used to ride a bike through hoops of fire, like who knew, you know. And I'm going, well, that's really interesting. Maybe part of my adventurous spirit, because I love traveling around and I even went on zip lines this summer and stuff. Maybe that came from my grandfather. And then I have other parts of my family who are very devout and very religious. So I'm going, okay, you know, so I have that aspect too. And then I have my own, which makes it me, who I am, and unique. Their presence is felt in everything we do if we take a moment to really allow them into our hearts. And again, some of them did the best they could, and maybe they didn't do a great job. However, as you all know, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't know that, we are all divine. We all want to open up our hearts. And as we close our hearts down, it makes it harder and harder to connect with each other. It makes it harder to receive the love that we all deserve, because it is our birthright. Our ancestors are special gifts, and we are special gifts to the world. In their memory, we need to live each day to the fullest, to be thankful and not to forget. So just take a moment now to think of some of the departed, some of your ancestors, and remember deep within your heart the preciousness and the gift. But it's not just enough to remember. It's now important for each one of us to make a vow. So for those of you who are willing to make a vow to be a conscious elder, whether you're 10 now or 90, it doesn't matter. I want you to stand up. Are you willing to make a vow to become a wise elder, to cultivate the spark deep inside, to be the best you can be, to share your love, to share your compassion, and also ask yourself, what will you leave behind for the next generation? It was said really beautiful in a poem by Donna Markova, which I want to share with you. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible, to loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that which came to me as seed goes to the next as blossom, and which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit, fully alive. Close your eyes, all of you, for 1 second, and I want you to point to yourself. Point to yourself. Everyone point to yourself. Now open your eyes and just turn around and look where everyone is pointing. You're pointing here. You're not pointing to your head. You're pointing to your heart. This is who you are. This is the life. You know, in Egyptian mythology, when you die, you go before the goddess Maat, and they weigh your heart. And if your heart is as light as a feather, you get to go on to heaven. So let's live our lives so that our heart stays light as a feather. Remember, we're the ancestors of the future. You are the ancestors. You are the ones who are going to be sharing and giving down this knowledge. So take your hands down, and I want you to breathe love into your hands. Breathe it. Love, wisdom, joy. And then place it on your heart. Like wax on a fire, feel it melting, opening up your heart, softening, revealing that spark of divinity with inside, knowing that we must live with our hearts wide open. And breathe in the support of everyone in this room. And now rub your hands together until they're burning, until they're really hot. Come on, more, 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 and then reach out and share it. Touch someone. So let's make this day, we talk about gratitude. It's the beginning of 30 days of gratitude. It's also, I hate to say this, people, 60 days to 2016. So we want to start preparing now to keep our hearts open enough to bring in all of this wonderful energy to the new year, and let's leave behind the heavy energy. Okay? Yes? We're going to leave it behind, and we're going to open up. And again, I want you to walk out of here knowing that you are the ancestors of the future. Blessings, everybody.
Do you feel your heart opened wider right now? And if not, just be willing to breathe in, breathe in, breathe in, and let it out. Keep releasing everything that may be heavy, that may feel heavy, that is from the past, that has happened before this moment in time. And just like our ancestral lineage comes from the past and moves into the future, so is true with our blessings, our infinite blessings. And let's acknowledge those blessings as we always do, knowing I am so blessed for all I am, all I have, and all that God is. Together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so, for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
And in this space of knowing we are so very blessed, take a breath and release it. As you settle in your chair, allow it to support you and give way to it. And feel the very gratitude for the seat you are occupying, for the space that you're in, wherever you are, in the back, in the front, upstairs. This first day of November, yes, we can choose to be grateful every day, and we can choose to even heighten our consciousness, raise it, heighten our awareness of the gratitude. So much to be grateful for. The air we breathe, the bodies we inhabit, the spirit that we are. Each inhalation and exhalation. Give thanks for the city that we live in, this vibrant city that never sleeps. And being grateful in this now moment, no matter what is happening in your lives at this time, but in this now moment, to be grateful, to sit, come apart for a moment, to go within strengthen the connection that we always have. We can never be separated from our Creator. Knowing that we've been created in the image and likeness of Spirit, we can be grateful for that. We can be grateful for knowing that the appearance of chaos, the appearance of less than, lack or limitation in any area of our lives, we can see it as temporary, of knowing that we can choose to tap in to the divine, call on our powers to help us rise to a higher level of thinking and to rise above the issue or the problem, the circumstance, the situation, whatever it is for you, whatever it is for me, that we can choose, as Eric Butterworth wrote, to see it rightly. Whatever we surround with an attitude of gratitude, whatever we're grateful for, will increase. Scripture tells us, in all things give thanks. And that tells me I can see a problem or a challenge and change my mind about it and see it as an opportunity for growth, an opportunity to look from the inside out, to look at my part, to look at how I can change that issue into an opportunity to go deeper into my prayer life, to amp up my gratitude, and to focus on what I have to be grateful for versus what I believe is missing. Because in truth, each of us is whole, complete, just as we are. Each of us is whole and complete. We've come with everything required to live our best life, to walk the path that we are walking. And so in a moment of silence, let's take that in, that each of us is already whole and complete. And divine wisdom within reveals to us a new way of thinking, a new way of looking, so we can step out into that wholeness that we are. In the silence, know you are whole and complete. Take a breath and let it out. Feel the gratitude for the blessing of breathing. Feel the gratitude for the truth of who and what you are. A divine, perfect creation, whole and complete, unconditionally loved by the force, by the energy and the power that imagined you into being, whole and complete, lacking nothing. And we are deeply, eternally grateful for the truth.